First Chronicles chapter 12, if you would, this morning. First Chronicles chapter 12 in your Bible. First Chronicles chapter 12, beginning in verse number, am I on? Give me some more. Verse number 16 is where we'll start reading this morning. You turn to the book of First Chronicles, Second Chronicles, and these areas of the Bible, sometimes these are challenging passages of the Scripture to read. Oftentimes you'll find that there are many genealogies and there are lists here of men who go to war, different battles that they will fight and different soldiers that are in the battles. But I found that oftentimes in these passages of Scripture, many times there are brief descriptions that give us some insight into the lives of certain individuals. Such is the case this morning here within these verses. As you just look at the page there, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, you'll find that the majority of that page is nothing but names. It's listings of individuals and different groups. And tucked in the midst of that, perhaps we could say, there is a truth. There is a nugget of information of some men who are headed to a battle. And what we find here is the actions that they display and what they say teach us a whole lot about the Christian life. In fact, you'll see here in just a moment how that as these men in the Old Testament are preparing for battle, they can help us in the New Testament era. You say, preacher, how is that? Truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a child of God, we are in a battle. You are in a spiritual battle. You say, preacher, I didn't sign up for that. Well, you didn't have to. The moment you got saved, the devil drew a target on you. The devil declared warfare on you and those around you. And though the elements of physical and spiritual warfare, though they're markedly different, what you're going to find is that the courage and the loyalty of these men teach us very much about our dedication to our Christian life. In this passage, there are some men who proclaim whose side they are on. They proclaim who they are going to fight for. And as we read just these couple verses, I want you to watch for it. I want you to see it in your Bible. I want you to pick up on it as we get into the text here. They make mention of who they're willing to fight for. The message this morning has about 12 different titles. So you can take your pick. You could talk about who you're fighting for, whose side you're on, who you belong to, whose battle you're going to fight. I could give you a bunch of them, but I won't do that. You just make up your own this morning as you look at the verses. If you're able to stand, why don't you do that? 1 Chronicles chapter 12, beginning in verse number 16. There came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David. David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if ye be come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye be come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace. Peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them and made them captains of the band. Father, I pray that you will use this portion of Scripture, and Lord, help it to relate in a practical fashion to where we are. Give us, Lord, some things that we could take with us that would challenge and stir our hearts. And I pray that you'll speak to the hearts of Christians today. There be some that do not know you as Savior, then Lord, I pray that you'll help them today to come to an understanding of salvation and trust you. Lord, I pray that you'll work in the invitation time, that you'll keep the devil from distractions. Help us, Lord, to be free to focus on the Word of God and that the challenges that would be presented would take root. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I wonder this morning if the question were asked to you, what causes you to fight, what your answer would be. I wonder this morning if you were asked, where and when would you decide to go to war? Or perhaps if questions were asked about what motivates you to go into a battle, the list of different parameters would be many there. Several years ago, there was a story that made headline news in Florida. for several weeks. It was a headline story about an accident that took place. And the story went like this. There was a young man who decided one day that he was going to go out for a swim on a hot summer day at a swimming hole behind the house. He ran through the house and left his shirt and socks and shoes and told his mother where he was going. And without time to hesitate or without time for her to be able to speak with him about that, out the back door he went, and she looked across the yard as he ran, and he jumped into the old swimming hole. Well, unbeknownst to the little boy, that same day, on that same hot summer afternoon, in that same swimming hole, an alligator also decided it was going to cool off in the same water. His mother stood there at the kitchen window and she saw what began to take place, and she panicked, and in fear she saw the two swimming closer to each other. She ran out the back door and she began to yell as loud as she could to her son. Finally, she caught his attention. He made a U-turn and he began to swim back to the shore to where she was headed. By the time his mother got to the dock and reached for him, the alligator got to him at the same time. His mother reached down and grabbed his arms, and when she did, the alligator reached up and snatched the boy in his legs. A tug of war ensued. And for what seemed like a long period of time, for those few moments, there was a tug of war between this animal and between this mother. Certainly the alligator was very strong, but the mother had something the alligator didn't possess, and that was passion. She was passionate about her boy and not about to let him go. Thankfully, a farmer drove by, saw the commotion from the road, jumped out of his truck, ran to the side of the shore there, and shot the alligator. The boy was then rescued and taken to the hospital, and after several weeks, surprisingly, he lived. Surgery after surgery and different procedure of grafting skin and other different parameters that he went through. And finally, in Florida, they made great headlines as this boy was able to limp and hobble out of the hospital on his own. A reporter did an interview on the young boy and on the story when he was released, and he asked the boy, he said, "Son, can I see your battle scars?" Oh, the boy, just being a young boy, he was proud of those. He went over and he pulled up his pant leg and began, "I ain't pulling up mine." Thank you, Miss K. He pulled up his pant leg and he showed the reporter the scars on his legs. And then it was almost like there was a change in his demeanor. It was almost like his face was enlightened and a great big smile came upon him. And he said, "You see those scars? Those scars are nothing." He said, "I've got some scars under my arms that I want to show you about." And he pulled his sleeves back, and down both sides of his arms were deep scars where his mother's fingernails dug into his arms. He told the reporter this. He said, "These scars," pointing to his legs, "are there because the alligator wanted to destroy me." He said, "These scars are here because my mother loved me." The reporter then went and interviewed his mother, and in tears, she said to them, she said, "He was my son, and certainly I love him so much. There was no way I could let him go, and I would do everything within my power to fight for him." Now, any parent in this room this morning can relate to that type of motivation to fight for a child and to go to battle and to go to war in order to try to salvage or to help their child. But I wonder this morning if our love for God is as strong of a motivation. I wonder this morning, in a group this size and this setting with different parameters, parents and grandparents and some who do not have children, I wonder this morning if your love for Christ is as strong a motivating factor that would say to you, "I'm willing to go and fight and I'm willing to enter the battle because I love my Savior." The truth of the matter is, if you're here today as a child of God, the love of Christ ought to constrain you. It touches your very soul. It ought to cause you to become more alert to the needs of others around you and those who have difficulties. You see, a true Christian, he's not self-centered, he's Christ-centered. A true child of God today, he's not so much concerned with himself. In fact, he's not so much concerned sometimes with the things of church and other parameters. Rather, he is concerned in his life about being a producer of the fruit of the Spirit. And here in this passage, We read about some men, just a few verses, just a few notations. But here in the Old Testament, here are some men who displayed New Testament characteristics. They displayed New Testament Christianity. Now, in order for you to grasp fully what is taking place here, you would need to understand that in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, David is a type of Christ. Here's King David as their ruler. He is the king. He is the one that they follow. He is the leader that they will serve. And these men and these nations, they come and they gather around him. And what happens in these few verses teach us so much about our Christian life today for practical, everyday Christianity. I want you to notice their actions as well as the things that they say. Notice, first of all, if you would, number one, there was a decided proclamation. Look at verse number 16 now. Notice they decided that they were going to do something. They proclaimed that they were going to do something, and then they went through with it. Verse number 16. The Bible says, "And there came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David." Now watch. We do not know how many men are in this first initial meeting, if you will, with David. The Bible doesn't tell us that. We do not know how many men came from Benjamin's camp, how many men came from Judah's camp. But here's the first encounter when they are going to make a decision that they're going to go to battle. And there's some very important actions that are taking place here in this verse. Watch now. Look at your Bible. In verse number 16, there is first of all a group of men. The Bible says the children of Benjamin and Judah. So first of all, there's a group of them. Second of all, they came, the Bible says. They then came, the children of Benjamin and Judah. And then thirdly, the Bible says that they came to the hold unto David. You see all that in your Bible there? They came, here's a group of men that made a decision, they acted upon that decision, and they came to the hold where David was. If you were to look back in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2, you'll find that this is not the first time that some of Benjamin's camp came to join with David. In fact, earlier, some of the others came and they decided to join with David. And now this group of men, they take action upon their decision. They come to the hold. We do not know for sure what this hold is. We would understand it's probably a cave, maybe the cave of Adullam, if you are familiar with David's writings in the book of Psalm. Perhaps it's a hidden place. Maybe it was a place of refuge. Maybe it was a place that was tucked away. But whatever the case, watch it now, they took the initiative and they came. And just by their very presence, they were expressing to David, "David, we are willing to take a stand for you." Just by the fact that they showed up, they were saying, in essence, "David, we are willing to come and to share in the victories that you have. We're willing to share in the rewards, the safety that you have here in this cave. David, we want the pleasures that come along with being on your side. But understand, we're also willing to go to battle with you. We're also willing to go to the war. We're also willing to share in some of the rejection, to share in some of the difficulties, to share in some of the negativity that comes along with it. David, we are willing to go through all of that. We are here." Here's this group of men, some from Judah, some from Benjamin. Now, I don't know for sure, but can you imagine, if you would, the night before, as this group, this children of Judah and Benjamin, can you imagine the night before as they get together in somebody's tent? I don't know, but perhaps suppose they are just trying to decide, "We got to figure out, fellas, whose side we're on. We've got to figure out which side of this battle we're going to fight." Maybe it's late at night and just by lantern, several of the leaders gather together and they begin to discuss some options. Option number one, we can go out and we can fight against the enemy by ourselves. By the way, not a good decision. And I could just cut to the chase this morning. A lot of Christians decide to do that. They could have said, option number two, we could just go hide somewhere and not even enter the battle. We could just pretend the battle doesn't even exist. By the way, a lot of Christians do that too. You see where the passage is going? They could have said option number three, maybe we can just run and we can flee and maybe, just maybe, the enemy won't catch us and we won't have to deal with it. And then perhaps somewhere along that round table, one of the men stands up and he says, I tell you what I'm going to do, fellas. I'm getting up and I'm going down to join David's camp. I can tell by watching him that David is doing that which is right. He's fighting for a worthy cause and God seems to be blessing him. And I'm going down to his camp. First thing tomorrow morning, I'm going down there. I'm knocking on the door of the cave. I don't know if they had a door, but whatever the case. I'm going to show up at David's hold, and I'm going to tell him, David, I want you to know that I am here, and I'm reporting for duty. And I can just imagine that in that tent on that night, maybe that atmosphere began to filter through the other men of Judah, the other men of Benjamin, and perhaps they decided, you know what? I'm going to do the same thing. And the Bible says in verse number 16, I like this now, they didn't just talk about it. They did it. Brother Jeff, they didn't just sit there in the tent and say, this is a good idea. But the next day, they got up and they went down to David and they did exactly what they said they were going to do. Ladies and gentlemen, can I say to you this morning that God is looking for some people today in the year 2013 who are willing to proclaim the same that the men did in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, i.e. men who are willing to identify themselves, men who are willing to stand up and say, I'm going to be on God's side, men who are willing to draw a line and decide whose side of the battle they are on. Not just think about it, not just pray about it, not just proclaim it, but get in the fight, get in the battle, decide where they'll stand, and move forward for the cause of Christ. You realize we live in a world today where it's not popular to be a Christian. We live in a world today where it's not protocol any longer to profess that you are a born-again child of God, that you're going to raise your family with standards, you're going to take your boys and girls to church. It's not popular to do that in this society. It's not popular in this society to say that you're going to raise your children by way of teaching them some discipline. That you're going to raise your children right and wrong, and you're going to teach them that a man ought to marry a woman and a woman ought to marry a man, and you're going to teach them some strong moral... That's not popular today. In fact, just the opposite has become popular. In the world in which you and I live, we live in a day in which sin is being promoted. And I was flipping through some shows the other day, and I saw there was this promotion for this lady individual who has championed the cause of homosexuality and lesbianism. In fact, I'm just going to say the name. It was a show to promote Ellen DeGeneres. Shame on you who watched that show. But this was a show that was there to praise her. And in about the 30 seconds that I saw of that, a lady stood up and she said, "We are your debtors. You have opened the door and paved the road for many of us." Puke on the remote. Ladies and gentlemen, there is something wrong with the society today that wants to promote that and uplift that and make that popular, while at the same time decide that you ought not stand for God, you ought not live for Him, you ought not move forward for Him. Hey, I want you to know today that if you're going to serve God, perhaps your family may belittle your faith. Perhaps the people that you work with, they may look at you strange. They may even mock you a little bit. They may not even understand why you're willing to take some stance. By the way, can I say to you that in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, what you were reading about, it wasn't popular to fight for David there either. It wasn't popular to be on David's side. King Saul was after him, and David was a target of the king. He was the proposed enemy, if you would, the proposed enemy of wickedness. Hey, hey, hey. If you're a child of God today, understand the devil's drawn a target on you. You are the proposed target of wickedness. But thanks be to God, God is on our side. And I wonder today if there's some people of God who would stand and say, hey, I want to identify myself with the rejected Son of God. It may not be popular. It may not be the most wonderful. There may be some persecutions along the way. I may have to deal with some challenges. In fact, I may even be the target of some of those challenges at times. But I wonder if there's some who are willing to say, I'm going to get in the battle. I'm going to share in the difficulties. I'll share in the fight. I want you to know, God, I'm here and I want to live for you, whatever the cause may be. Those men put it all on the line when they showed up that day at the hold and they said, David, we're going to fight for you. Now, by the way, if you know your Old Testament history, and just several chapters over, who comes out on top, King Saul or King David? King David does. And can I say to you today that living the Christian life, it ain't all battles and difficulties. Well, there may be some rejections and some frustrations, but those men, because they stood for David, they were also able to share in the victories and to share in the blessings and to share in the rejoicings when David got the victory on those days. And I want you to know today, as a child of God, if you'll live for God and you'll serve Him, you may face some difficulties, some things you don't know the answers to, some things that may be distracting to you. But thanks be to God, there's some victories along the way. Along the way, you can share in the blessings. You can have some of the great joys of living for God. Good stuff, isn't it? Along the way, that shows up. Next time, I'll put a Tic Tac in my mouth. Hey, it's not all gloom and doom living for the Lord. Those men joined in the battle, and because of that battle, they experienced some of the great victories of living for David that day. And by the way, they counted the cost. I don't think they entered the battle blindly. I think they sat around and they decided, what's going to happen if we fight for David? And by the way, I think as a child of God, you are wise to count the cost. That's what the Bible says. But Brother Jimmy Sides, one of the problems is that a lot of Christians sit on the fence for years counting the cost and counting the cost and counting the cost and never get in the battle. And these men, they declared that day, they proclaimed that day with a definite step in their life whose side they were on. Number two, there was a defined proposition. A defined proposition. Look at verse number 17. Now watch what's happening. Put the text together in your mind. All right? Here's these men that show up and say, David, we're here to fight. But if you read verse number 17 closely, you would understand that David came out and he said, I don't know about this. In fact, David was right to be somewhat reluctant. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 17. David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if ye become peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye become to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. Upon meeting David, David was a little suspicious. You see that? He was a little on the edge, and he questioned whether or not they were there to come to help him, whether they came just for their own parameters. And so David, in verse number 17, he gives them some conditional offer. He gives them a proposition, if you will. Here are the terms of our agreement. And the terms are, if your heart be knit unto me, and so forth, then I will let you unite with me. However, you need to know that if you've come to betray me, it's going to be a grave consequence. You see, here's what David knew. David knew two things. One, that he didn't need any disguised soldiers. Hey, can I just go ahead and tell you? It's in the notes somewhere, but I got to tell you now. God doesn't need any disguised soldiers either. Another thing David knew he didn't need any half-hearted soldiers. He didn't need anybody that was just there to help themselves. David said, if you've come to help me, then my heart will be knit with you. But if you're here to spy on us, if you're here just to watch, I don't have time for that. And furthermore, you need to know that the God of heaven, He's going to be your judge, and it will be far worse a consequence if you just leave. David did not need on his side any heartless cowards following him. He didn't have time for that. He didn't need anybody who wasn't going to stand. I don't have time for betrayal. I don't have time for you to cut me in the back. And the truth of the matter is, David said, either you're here today and you are for me or you are against me. There is no other way. I'm drawing a line in the sand. You're either on my side or you're not on my side. You understand that Jesus Christ, while He was on this earth, said the same thing. In the New Testament, in the Gospels, Jesus said, He that is for me is for me, and he that is not is against me. In several places, the Lord made similar statements where He drew a line in the sand and He said, He that is not with me is against me. And may I say to you today, ladies and gentlemen, God is not looking from your Christianity for any type of betrayal. God is not looking for you to just go along for the ride in Christianity. God is not looking for you to just coast along. David didn't have time for that either. But in like manner, in the spirit of living for God, the Holy Spirit of God comes to us and He woos us and He said, I'm looking for some people who will have their hearts set it right the way God's heart is, who will put themselves into the battle, openly embrace what God would do, be ready to stand and ready to fight. And oh, could I say to you today that perhaps in Christianity and churches all across our land today, one of the great things that we're lacking, not so much people in the pew, not so much people to show up to Sunday school, but people whose heart will be in the battle. People whose heart will be right with God. A heart that is ready to receive what God has for them in all sincerity and in truth. Now, before you get to verse number 18, I'd have to say to you today, aren't you glad that as we read the Word of God, we understand that any who comes to Jesus Christ, He will receive them. Aren't you glad this morning that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He that cometh to me, I will no push him by the wayside. He that cometh to me, he shall in no wise perish. I'm glad that I can say to you today, if you'll come today and come to Jesus Christ, you won't have to worry about whether he'll leave you outside the cave, whether he'll push you beside for some other soldier. Thanks be to God, he'll take every one of us. Every person here, no matter who you are, there's a proposition from the Lord that you can come into the hold. And when you come into the hold, you come into the fold. There was another one of my titles. Here's number three. Well, number three, you get to verse number 18, and there's a divine proportion here. There's a divine proportion. Now notice what the Bible says. Here is an Old Testament reference to the work of the Holy Spirit. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, did you see that phrase earlier? Did you see that phrase? He said what? Thine are we. All right, now there's three words there. I think we can do it. I got faith in you this morning. Say those three words with me. Thine are we. Say it again. Thine are we. Are we? That little phrase, those three words, I was reading my Bible several weeks ago. Those three words jumped out at the page at me. Wow. What a proclamation. I mean, you talk about some men taking a step of faith. That was huge. And then on top of that, in this same verse, the Bible says that the Spirit came upon him. The word Spirit there and came upon literally means to clothe. He was clothed with the Spirit of God. We would understand that this, he is filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit of God was directing what he had to say, and he said to David, David, here we are. I mean, in verse number 18, you have a good old-fashioned Old Testament reference to personal surrender. David, we are in submission to you. Thine are we. We are here. No uncertainty about it. No maybe we'll come back tomorrow. No maybe if there's a Big Mac involved, we'll fight for you. None of that's found here. David, we are at your disposal. We are here to fight for you. I want you to know, David, we belong to you. Thine are we. We want your cause. We want your will. We want to do whatever you want to do, David. It's your call in the battle. We'll follow your leadership. We understand you're in charge. And on the list of things goes. And so saying so, it implies we don't want our will anymore. We just want yours. Now, can I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that the God of heaven wants every child of God to come to that same place. God, I don't want my will anymore. I just want yours. Thine are we. Lord, I'll follow you and I'll do whatever you want me to do. And God, I'll serve you. And there on that day, those men showed up and under the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, they signed up for battle. And along with that, they got some of the sorrows. And along with that, they got some of the resources. David will be a part of the tribulations and David will be a part of the victories. David will be a part of the challenges. And David will stand with you when we rejoice as well. We are on your side. Thine are we. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you realize that to become a partner in the battle, now watch it now, to become a partner in the warfare, they had to be willing to crucify themselves. And I would say to you that it is no different for you and I here today that in order for you to partner with the Lord, if you will, you must come to the place where you fully give yourself to Him. I'm saying that there are people today who would say, God, I am fully at your disposal. Lord, whatever you want for my life, I am here and I'm showing up and I'm reporting for duty. I want your cause. I want your will. It no longer matters what I want. It no longer matters what I think. It no longer matters what I would want to do in the battle. Lord, it's no longer my way, but God, it's your way. And whatever way it is, if it means that I'll suffer, then God, I'll suffer. If it means that I'll shout, then God, I'll shout. If it means there'll be trials and valleys and difficulties, then Lord, I'll trust you when we go through those valleys. But whatever the case, thy will be done. Thine are we. Lord, I belong to you. And I would say that to every Christian in here today, that is a very vital step in your relationship with God. In fact, it's the same thing that Paul talked about in Romans chapter 6, verse number 16. Paul said, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom ye obey." And their consecration and service was because they said, David, we'll do whatever you want us to do. Now watch. Let's put verse number 18 together. The first phraseology in verse number 18 is that the Spirit came upon him. You see it? What happened first in verse number 18 was that the Spirit came upon him. And in order for you to be consecrated to the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, please understand that will follow you being fully open and willing to be filled with the Spirit, clothed with the Spirit, whatever terminology you might would want to say. Say, preacher, what does all that mean? Let me cut to the chase. Perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, there are some here today who need to quit resisting the Spirit of God in your life and surrender to Him and serve Him today. Maybe the Spirit of God has been wooing you about church membership or baptism or another decision to leave behind the habits and addictions of this world. And maybe today what God would want from you is that you quit resisting the Spirit and follow His leading. Say, preacher, I just don't understand why I keep losing the battles and it just seems like God's never on my side. Perhaps it's because you've not had the Spirit of God come upon you like Amasai did and been filled with the Spirit. You won't surrender to Him and say, God, I'll do it. Whatever you want, Lord, I give up. I'll follow you. It's no different for us. And maybe today there are some folks in this crowd who the Spirit of God, you know as sure as I preach this message, that God has been working on your heart and God has been moving in your life. And today you need to get in fellowship with God and know what it is to be covered by His divine Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit. I wonder how many Christians today would show up at the altar and say, Lord, here we are. Thine we are. God, we're showing up for duty. We're not playing around this time. We're not going to take it back this time. Lord, we're signing up and we're ready to go. No ulterior motives. Lord, thine we are. Where are the people and men and women of God and the young people of God who would make that same proclamation that those men did to David? And the divine proportion, the Spirit of God began to move in their life and led and directed in the following days. Now, there's not a Christian in here today who wouldn't say, I want God to lead my steps. There's not a Christian in here who wouldn't say, I want God to guide me. And the pattern is given for us in the Scripture. We simply have to obey. But there's one final thing in this passage before we close. Notice, if you would, number 4, a declared profession. This is good. Watch it now. If you hadn't heard anything else, wake up your neighbor, write this down. This is good. Look at verse number 18. Watch the end of the verse. Thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace. Peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers. Here it is. Watch this phrase. For the God of Baal helpeth thee. For the God of the Amorites and the Hittites. No. David, why? Because thy God helpeth thee. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what is happening here, they ascribe peace to David and David likewise to them. And tucked away in that verse, there's a key phrase where they said, David, we understand that thy God is the one that is helping thee. Something changed. From perhaps verse 14, verse 15, we don't know what the past of these men is like. Something changed in their life by the time you get to verse number 18, and they make this profession of who David's God is. Now watch it. The Bible doesn't say, because David, you're a great warrior. The Bible doesn't say, because David had all the personality of any great popular leader. No. None of that's the case. It wasn't because of everything David could offer them. None of that is the case. What they saw was they were convinced that the God that David served was the Almighty God, and that something mysterious and something divine was on his life, and it must be that Jehovah God is in control and that He is leading and guiding. Oh, may I say to you today, ladies and gentlemen, there is a lost world looking to the lives of Christians still today and looking for God's people to have that same testimony where they can say, I've watched your life. I've seen it in you. And I can tell for sure that in the midst of those trials of your life, thy God helpeth thee. I can tell that when that challenge came in your home, thy God helpeth thee. I can tell there's something real about you. I can tell there's something right about you. And it must be that the God you serve is alive today. It must be that your God is still in control. It must be that He is still on the throne today. Thy God helpeth thee. They saw that day that He was the true God, greater than all of David's enemies. That's good stuff. Greater than anybody that they would battle. Somehow or another, men and women will be drawn to people that God helps. Did you get that? Somehow or another, people will be drawn to those individuals that God is on their side. And they understood that day, David, we're fighting this battle for you, not because of who you are, but because of who your God is. David, we're coming by your side, not trusting in you, but David, we're trusting in your God. Ladies and gentlemen, I would say to any person here today, your faith is only as strong as what it's placed in. And wherever your faith is today, most certainly on the terms of eternity, those men took their very lives and they put them in the hands of David, and they did so because of David's God. And I would say to you today, when it comes to eternity, I wonder, where will your faith lie? What are you trusting in as you step out into eternity to get you to heaven one day? Oh, I would plead with you, place your faith in a lot of things around you today, but the one thing that matters most is the only way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is but one way you'll receive eternal life. Thy God helpeth thee. And you'll find that just like David did at the very end of the verse, the Bible says that David received them. No matter who you are here today, if you come to Christ with a sincere heart, He will not turn you away. But in love, He will receive you. Ask you a question. Whose side are you on? The battle lines have been drawn. Who will you fight for? And where will you stand? Father, we thank You for the Word of God, and I pray that You'll speak to our hearts in these moments. And Lord, would You guide us and help us? I pray that, Spirit of God, You would convict us. And Lord, perhaps we need to follow Your wooing in just a few moments. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.